Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And I'm here with Michael McCarthy, who's trying to take my seat away from me.
Hey, I let you back out of the I let you out of the closet, right?
Yeah, I did. I was able to take off, and he and Chris did a great job last week. And matter of fact, I listened to the show, and the very first caller calls in and asks about student loan abatement for interest and stuff. I'm glad I wasn't sitting in the seat when you answered that question, because I didn't have the answer like you had it. It's just not in my wheelhouse per se. Student loans, I know a good bit about them, but not like you do. So I'm glad you were answering that question.
I drew the short straw when it came time to write that article.
That's true. Anyway, so we're here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here on an open show like normal. We just say, if you keep calling in, we're going to keep doing open shows so that we address your questions. And if we come up with a great guest, like earlier this year, we had Charles Schwab on the show with us talking about his book, Invested. If we can come up with a great guest like that we think would be, fascinating to listen to, we'll do that. But also, if we have a very specific topic where we feel it's timely and it's got to be discussed, like we did earlier this year with PPP loans and so forth with Eli Knopf, then we're going to do those. But for the most part, we want to address your questions. We want you to be the guest and you determine the direction. So you can say, hey, if you can answer this question like last week about student loans, that would be extremely helpful to me. And I'll be incredibly grateful that you were able to help me work on this issue that I've got as a problem. So if you want to direct the conversation tonight in your direction, 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask your question about the topic that is most important to you. Otherwise, we'll just ramble on about something else.
You know what time of year it is?
No.
Tax projection time.
It's more than that, Mikey. There's so many cool things that you should be doing in 2020 right now, because you've got no required minimum distributions. So that means that every single person who was taking a required minimum distribution should be doing Roth conversion analysis, saying, hey, if I had to have taken that out, okay, I would have paid this in taxes. Well, this year I don't have to take it out, so I can Roth convert it and pay the same taxes I'm used to paying every year. And that, in many ways, is almost a slam dunk decision.
Yep.
But not everybody's going to do it.
Well, and it's always something. It's dangerous, even when professionals, are working with these numbers, because there's these hard limits, like the IRMA limit. And
the client has to understand all the nuances about, if we do this or if we don't do this. But you don't have a professional financial advisor if that advisor is not sitting down talking about these important tax issues right now. And that's why we're dedicated to projecting what professional financial advising should be all about. It should be the combination of comprehensive forces coming together, tax knowledge, estate knowledge, investment knowledge, insurance knowledge coming together, helping the client. And you know what the funny thing is, Mike, is that it pretty much, there's no difference in cost of working with somebody who's just investing your money and working with a comprehensive advisor.
Yeah, well, especially the difference in cost is how they get paid, and the fact that, that there's people out there accepting sales commissions.
And then you get sales commission type advice,
Right, yeah. Which pays the most? You should have that.
We're in the wrong business. We should make a lot more money if we would take the commission, But I think we do quite well for ourselves doing the right thing. That's the way I look at it. We're going to Bob in Aberdeen. Bob, how can we help you?
Yes, sir. I have a question about life insurance payout.
Okay.
If you have someone, a loved one passed away, and you get the life insurance, do you have to pay taxes on that?
99.9% of the time, the answer is no. So, Life insurance is normally 100% tax-free. There's very few situations that would normally be involved with businesses and things where there could be some income tax situation. So if you're
or if you got the titling wrong.
Well,
I guess not. That'd just be a gift.
That would be a different scenario. Yeah, that gets complicated. But no, you're typically when you have a loved one pass away and you get life insurance proceeds, it's 100% tax-free.
Right. Okay, then what? Let me one more question.
Yeah.
What if I were to give some of this to another relative?
No tax. Okay. You see, I did a webinar on this a month ago. I called it the greatest myth and the seven greatest financial myths. And the seven truths instead of the myth. So one of the big ones was that everybody thinks that if you give money to a relative or somebody as a gift, that it has some kind of income tax issue on that person. There are no income tax issues on giving money to somebody. A true gift has no income tax issues. In other words, if it was a true gift from you to your son and you gave him $100 million gift, there is no income tax issue to you or to the child. Now, where it gets complicated is there's this quirky law out there called gift and estate tax issues. That has to do with people who die with lots and lots of money, or people who are alive with lots of money and they want to give it away. And so if you give more than, call it $22 million to family members either during your lifetime or death, the government believes they get 40% of it, believe it or not.
And just in case people don't know, what he's considering there is a lot of money, is $5 million as an individual and $10 million as a couple.
That's in Maryland.
In Maryland. It's a moving target.
But in the Fed, it's probably going to come down to that $10, $12 million area.
Yep.
But see, that's where this gets confused. But 99% of Americans don't make or don't have that kind of money. So when you give money to your children, $100,000, $50,000, it has no income tax issues whatsoever. You know, it does impact this quirky thing called gift and estate taxes. But if you're not worth $10 million, my friend, you don't have anything to worry about.
Okay, so you say no income tax issues. So
not at all.
Non-income tax time, you don't need to put it on your
definitely not on your 1040 return. And, you know, everybody hears about this quirky thing. Well, if you give over $15,000, you're going to have a situation where you could cause an income tax issue. That is not true. That is not what it's all about. It's nothing to do with income taxes. That $15,000 has to do with this quirky gift and estate tax thing. And that's where the confusion, the myth comes in to the public who aren't professionals and deal with this on a daily basis. All right, my friend?
Okay, thank you very much.
Good question. Great question. I got to go to traffic. We'll be right back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. This is Drew Tignanelli, president of the Financial Consulate and host of Money, Riches, and Wealth. So often a radio listener calls me saying, I've been listening to you for years and have been meaning to call. When they come in for their comprehensive financial physical, they say, I wish I had done this years ago. If you've been meaning to call and meet with us, then do not wait. Call now to learn more about our trademark financial physical. The financial physical is designed to be a comprehensive second opinion analyzing all your goals and objectives. Are you maximizing tax efficiencies? Will you be able to maintain your lifestyle in retirement? Is your portfolio properly allocated, or just a few of the many parts of the physical? The best part of our service is you get to see the final product before you decide if you want to pay for it. We do this to assure you we are not selling product, and we guarantee the physical to be truly beneficial. Do not wait any longer. Call 410-823-7283. That's 410-823-SAFE, or visit us online at financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Yeah, I know this guy, you know. What's his name?
You? Is it a Bond movie? I feel like I'm in a Bond movie.
No. It's that guy. Remember, we talk about him all the time.
I know music less than you do.
We're on an open show tonight, Mikey. We got to answer our clients, our listeners' questions, and we have Jack on the line. We're going to go to you in a second, Jack. Just want to tell you that if you want to call in, ask a question, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask your question, and those that call in early, they get the most time because you know, right now, Jack's the only one online, so that's who we're going to spend the most time with. So if you want to direct the conversation, ask a question, 410-922-6680. And Jack in Silver Spring, how can we help you?
Well, so unfortunately, my daughter married a bum and 3 years ago. And about a year and a half ago, he stopped working. They had two kids, and he just left her.
Okay, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, so now I've been supporting her and the two kids for, you know, the better part of 2 years now since he left, stopped his work, actually, like I say, maybe early last year. Now, they got divorced. She said, obviously I can't make a life with this guy. So they got divorced, finished this year, about half a year ago. So my question to you is, I just realized I've been really supporting them, and isn't there some tax implications for me?
There are, possibly. Okay, so let me ask you a question. Is your daughter working? Has she been working the last couple of years?
Almost nothing, because the two kids, she had two little babies, and right now they're just like 1.5 and 3. So she'd been, you know, before that, they were... You know,
when did she
1 year old? And
when did she get divorced?
Yeah, and they got divorced about I think it was July this year. I think
July of 2020.
This year, yeah.
So the key is that your daughter hasn't made more than about $4,500 this year.
Oh, right.
Did she?
No way.
Okay, well then you should be able to claim all three of them as dependents on your tax return.
Okay, is that just so I know what I need to kind of be looking at to know if I qualify for doing that?
You're providing their support,
Yeah.
Long as you're providing their support and your daughter doesn't make more than $4,500 or so, you should be able to take her as a dependent on your return plus the two children because you're providing all their support. And so that would be pretty straightforward. You know, you just take them, you would take them as a deduction. Now, if your daughter makes more than $4,500, but you're providing the majority of the support, you may be able to take the two children, even though you can't take the daughter. Now, the other question is Mr. Bum, is he able to take the children as a dependent? So that's something that only the divorce agreement would
direct. She's got the kids,
but did they make any provisions in the document that either spouses are going to take the dependent deduction or anything of that sort?
No, I think they just assumed that my daughter would be doing that. He's isn't even paying what he's supposed to be paying her.
So he's not even paying child support.
He's actually supposed to be, but he isn't.
Okay. Well, then you have a lot of rights to take the deduction, my friend. So, you know, but make sure you have competent tax advice before you do that. But here's a really little trick that I would recommend. And I would recommend that if you're going to take the children as a dependent on your return, file your tax return as early as you can in the year. So as soon as you get your tax documents, let's say you get them all by February 2nd, I'd file my tax return by February 5th.
Why? That's cool. Why is that?
Well, just take my advice on that.
Okay.
All right.
Now, what about last year? I mean, I filed my taxes for last year already, and then this just occurred to me, like
well, 2019,
year, should I go back maybe and
2019, you may be able to, but it all depends on how she filed her tax return.
Because she was making nothing. So she actually didn't file a return. She had almost no earning.
There's a possibility you can go back and file again and claim the dependent deduction for all three of them. But you also have to make sure that Mr. Bum didn't claim those dependent deductions.
Okay. Gotcha.
But he doesn't have an income.
The date of the divorce matter, or the date when he moved out of the house matter? I mean, I just don't know what counts.
The key is, were you providing the support?
More than
50%. And number two is, did anybody claim those dependent deductions that was entitled to claim those dependent deductions? And when there's more than one person who has the right to claim that dependent deduction, there is a list of criteria the IRS would go through to say which one has the greatest right to claim them. Right now, what you're telling me is more than likely nobody claimed those three, your daughter or the two children, and you have clear right because you provided more than 50% of their support that you could probably go back and claim them as long as you're confident that Mr. Bum, is that really his last name, Bum? Mr.
That's unfortunate. Bump? He was doomed from the beginning.
Sad thing, but I don't mind that.
And also just because I think people listening always like to hear the numbers. So it's $4,300 for 2020. So income below $4,300.
I knew I was in the ballpark, Mikey.
I know. I'm just the details guy over here. I got to cross the T's and dot the I's.
He says, "I know, Drew."
I see, she didn't. I know she was just, you know, she had brand new babies and was raising them. You know, yep. She didn't have kids to work.
Get yourself a good tax person that you trust to file the returns for you, and don't try to do it on yourself, as they say. Don't try to do it yourself.
Yeah,
and
list of questions, you'll get lost in.
Is that the kind of thing that you guys can handle? I mean, I'm not, you know.
Well, we can handle it, but, you know, we're comprehensive advisors, so we only do tax returns for clients of ours. So if you actually became a full-fledged client of ours as a comprehensive client, yeah, we would absolutely do it for you. But that's really your decision if you wanted to become a comprehensive client of ours.
Gotcha. Well, I just don't know.
But let me tell you.
Are you able to recommend some, you know, either privately? I don't mean you have to say something on the air.
Give a call into the office tomorrow, 410-823-SAVE or 410-823-7283.
Okay.
And tell Paula to ask for Mike, and I'll
what was that last thing, sir?
I said, whoever answers the phone, just tell them that you want to speak to Mike.
And Mike will give you – that's Mike there talking to you. He'll get you a phone number of a good accountant that will take care of – but let me tell you how much this could mean to you. You ready?
Okay.
Minimum $4,500 a year.
Oh, for the my daughter and the two little guys.
Yeah, $4,500 a year. And so 2 years worth, that's $9,000.
So, yeah, and I paid a lot more than that for the two of them. So,
yeah, but $9,000 is a nice reprieve from that money you've put out, right? So
you betcha.
Yeah, so you want to get this done, my friend. And if I ever meet Mr. Bum, I'm going to ask him, where did you get that last name from?
Well, we gave it to him tonight. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
Take care. See ya. We're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question, lines are open, and we got to take a pause. So if you want to fill them up for me between now and the half, otherwise I'm going to talk to Mike. And that
we know he doesn't want to do that.
410-922-6680 if you want to call in. Take it away, traffic.
Back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And we're on an open show tonight, but unfortunately, we did not get a single caller in for the 4 or 5 minutes. I guess they would prefer to hear me talk to you.
Well, good.
So we're on an open show tonight. If you would like to call in, 410-922-6680. Lines are all open, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question, and we'll be here to direct the conversation in your way. Like Jackie had a great tax question, and who was the first person? The first person.
The first person. Well, you and I were just talking about home equity lines of credit, weren't we?
Yes.
Yeah. So just I don't know when the last time we talked about home equity lines of credit, but it's always a good topic to talk about. You know, if you own your home and you've got a good bit of equity in it, the best time to ask a bank for a loan is when you don't need it, because if you need it, they're not going to give it to you. And I think a lot of people over the last year learned that.
Yeah. So, you know, take, for example, myself. I sold my house, and I was selling my house, I should say. But we were moving into a condo near the office, which will be our Maryland home when I'm working and so forth. And, you know, to buy the condo, I didn't want to liquidate my portfolio to buy the condo. So I took the home equity credit line and bought the condo.
Yep.
All right. Now, when my house settled today, actually today settled, the home equity credit line was paid off. Well, because I did the loan a long time ago, you know, the bank said, hey, you know, good, yep. Great. You know, and I paid the interest. Didn't cost me anything to get it. Didn't cost me anything to keep it. And I had it available. Now, if I would have told the bank, and I didn't take a home equity credit line ever before, and this year I decide, hey, I'm going to sell my house, buy a condo, and I go to the bank and I say, look, I'm going to sell my house in 3 months, 6 months, and I'm going to buy a condo in the interim, but I just need some money to do that.
Yeah.
Sounds like a tax-free, I mean, it sounds like a risk-free bank wonderland, right?
Right.
What's the bank going to tell you?
No.
No. Why?
Because, well, they don't want to do the underwriting, and also they don't want to... You know,
it's too short a loan. They're not going to make any money.
Money to, for the administration.
They would much rather, Mike, you have a credit line that they don't even know if you'll ever use it for 10 years that they're going to pay for free, and take the chance that over 10 years they're going to make a boatload of money off of you, then collect a little bit of money for doing it for a very short period of time, because that's a guaranteed loss to them. The other yeah. one is almost statistically a sure bet you're going to use it.
Well, let me share another scenario very similar, but this is one I see a lot, and I actually have it right now in my own family. Is we have a family member who that group of the family moved out of town. The husband is working, looking forward to retirement in the next year or two, and looking forward to coming back with that part of the family to the rest of the family here in Maryland for retirement, even though none of us would advise that from a tax perspective.
Right.
But he, you know, they have a lot of stuff going on, and they don't want to sell, move, and buy all at the last day of his retirement, right after the retirement party, start packing up and head down. They want to be able to pick out the house, get kind of settled while he's still working out of state.
Right.
So the home equity line of credit's the perfect tool for that. Put the down payment down, get a loan on the second house, and then pay it off when they sell the first house.
So hear what we're saying. Let me just go over this. You know, you go to most banks, and you can get a home equity credit line for no fee to get it, no fee to keep it, prime rate of interest if you ever use it. And if your bank doesn't offer these three features, no fee to get it, no fee to keep it, and prime rate of interest if you ever use it, which right now prime is what, 3.25%?
It was last time I looked.
Last time you looked, 3.25%. Okay. So if your bank offers, says, no, we charge a fee to keep it if you don't use it, or, you know, we charge prime rate plus 1% if you ever use it, then go look for the banks that don't do that. The one we typically use is Howard Bank. That's who I use. But here's the point that you do this. Is you get this home equity credit line. It didn't cost you anything. It didn't cost you anything to keep. You use it as a tool in your toolbox, and you set it aside, and you leave it there. You don't use it to buy cars. You don't use it to, you know, do this and that. It could be a tool for something like that, but it's not a piggy bank, you know, and you got to be responsible to not make it a piggy bank. But it's a tool that is out there to be used in these financial planning strategic moves that you have. But if you go to the bank and ask them for it when you need the equity in your home because you just got laid off and you're going to need some money for, what, 6 months or a year
right.
until you find a new job? What's the bank going to say to you, Mike, if you go in and say, hey, I want that home equity credit line because I got a lot of equity in my house and I just got laid off and it's going to take me at least a year to find a job? What are they going to say to you?
No job, no loan.
You know, it's funny, but it's not funny. The best time to ask a bank for a loan is when you don't need it. So get your home equity credit line now when you don't need it. And then when you need it, it's available to you. You've already been qualified for it. All you got to do is write a check. It is an incredibly smart
yeah.
strategy if you're responsible with it.
So let's talk about, unless there's a call, Let's talk about two others. So we're looking for calls.
Let me tell everybody. Go ahead, you tell them. Maybe they like your name because last week your voice.
You know the honest truth? I can't remember the phone number.
410-922-6680.
So call in if you've got a question and you don't want to hear me ramble on other types of debt, but some other cool debt tools that
are
not.
You got to tell us the phone number now.
410-922-6680, unless that's wrong.
6680. You did it. Very good. You said it so fast. That's, you know, you said, if I say it fast, I'll get this done.
Or they won't be able to tell what I said. So some other cool, really cool debt tools, but these tools you have to be a little bit more careful of when and why you use them, is margin loans and pledged asset lines on your investment portfolios. This is not retirement accounts. This is taxable investment portfolios. And these things can be really, really cool, very short-term lending solutions.
Absolutely. You know, now, you know, they're very different, but they're very similar. Yeah. So they're both against your portfolio, but one is a margin loan, one is a bank pledged asset line. So it kind of acts like a home equity credit line on your investment portfolio. The problem with the pledged asset line is that there's lots of rules and regulations.
Well, there's setup.
And there's setup. And
it's not instantaneous.
Yes, it's not instantaneous, whereas margin's instantaneous. But the negative to the margin is every time cash comes in and out, that margin goes up and down.
It's going to make some problems with your trading. It's also margin loans. You don't want to go to the maximum amount for a margin loan because that with portfolios moving around, you have a better chance in a margin loan for a call, meaning they say, hey, Your equity's dropped by a certain amount. You need to sell some of them and pay off this loan because you can only have up to 50% or so out. But the neat thing, when do you use these things? Well, the margin loan, my favorite thing for a margin loan is a client has something that just came up out of the blue. They were on vacation. They saw this beautiful boat, and they had to have it. Well, you know what? We can probably get you a margin loan today.
Right.
You know, like, oh, we can just get that done, you know.
And then come up with a strategy in the next month or two or three.
Refinance
to liquidate the portfolio or refinance something or do whatever.
Or get a separate loan and refinance that loan. And then, you know, pledged assets, if it's going to be a little longer term and you've got a little bit more time, but you still want to postpone the long-term plan for how to pay for the item, they're a little bit more stable, even if they're a little harder, a little bit more work to get going.
That's correct. Now, the key to margin and pledged asset lines is knowing how to negotiate the loans. So it requires you to be smart and know how to negotiate, because if you go in and ask for a margin loan, you know, they're going to be charging you 5.5%, maybe 6%.
Do you know who gets the biggest discounts in life?
The people who are the biggest.
The most people with the most money.
That's right. And so with a firm like ours, we can go into the brokerage firm and we could say, you know, you're not going to charge our clients 6%. There is no way. You're going to come up with something a little lower or dramatically lower, you know, I should say.
Yeah.
And
well,
because
we'll negotiate.
Normally you're getting down to anywhere from 1.75% to as maybe as high as 3.5%, depending. No. We just did one recently. We just did one, and it was lower than that. So
every situation in each client account is
different. It depends on the size of the client, and it depends on the negotiating power of our firm, you know, and you really need to make sure you negotiate
and the interest
those.
Rates at the time.
And the interest rates at the time, that's also
that's
very
a big
important.
Factor.
Right now, the interest rates are relatively low. You can negotiate a lot more aggressively with the brokerage firms. But the key is to know that you can negotiate those fees. They are not you have to pay it. Anyway, we're here on an open show. Nobody called in during this quarter segment of the show. If you have something you want to ask, we have one quarter left of the show. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in. And we'll go to traffic right now. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you can trust and help you through all stages of life? Having a team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs gives us the ability to help you prepare your tax return, strategize to help you minimize tax liability, help you visualize and reach your retirement goals, and help guide you in every other facet of personal financial planning. We demonstrate these abilities every Wednesday night on our radio show, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Have you been wanting a second opinion? Then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your financial physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. Call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE or go online to financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com.
Back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBL.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. And all right. And we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. And we are on an open show, but it's been a slow night tonight, Mikey. I think it's you.
Yep.
No, but actually, it must be me because last week you got at least six or seven calls, maybe.
We did. You know, we had to power through them there.
Yeah. So I'm here and, you know, and I'm calling out to people and they're not calling. So it must be me, Mike.
Yep.
Anyway, if you want to call in, ask question 410-922-6680. And maybe we came to the end of all of our questions from our listeners and we have to start doing guests again.
I got a skit I can run.
You have a skit you can run? What's your skit?
Well, so this, you know, we try to make as much of the educational content we're doing applicable to the most number of our clients. But sometimes we got to kind of go into some niches. So I'm going to talk to the Maryland small business owners.
Right. I was going to suggest we do that.
Well, I was probably going to go a different route. So I'll do mine.
Go ahead.
Mine's
you do yours.
Quick. So my little quick one is do not fall asleep at the wheel when it comes to stimulus packages that might be available to you because it is constantly changing. If you're someone like us, we're watching it all the time. Every time the Maryland Open for Business releases something, I'm reading it, and I'm looking for potential clients that could benefit. We have an artist client that I think will get some earmarked special artist money.
Right.
So, you know, a whole new round of stuff just came out. I anticipate that we're going to see more drips and drabs of very isolated niche offerings to restaurants and artists and anyone with a lobbying group in Maryland that's a small business.
That's an interesting, you know, and so if you're familiar with what Maryland's offering and you can go and get it and, you know, it's there for the taking. But
well,
a lot of people don't know.
Very long application process.
Yes, there. I understand
but
that.
It's still
one.
Worth it if you get money
absolutely.
And you'll maybe not even have to pay it back.
So we're on an open show, 410-922-6680. We do have a call coming in now. We'll go talk to them. Perry in Baltimore. Perry, how can we help you? Perry?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there you are. Perry, how
hey,
can
Perry.
We help you?
Good. I wanted to know something. I have an offer on my house to sell.
Okay.
Okay? And the deal is, it's the end of the year. For tax purposes, it's smarter to wait till January 1st to close on the house because it wouldn't have capital gains on the amount of money. I'm making a profit on the house.
How much of a profit do you think you're going to make? $10,000, $50,000, $100,000?
$20,000.
Well, then you're tax-free.
Is it your primary residence?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, you're tax-free. So are you single or married?
That's an interesting question. I'm following a single this past year. I'm following a single this head of house, but I don't have a wife. I don't have a spouse.
Okay, but does somebody else live with you in that house as a personal residence and also name on the title?
My late wife is on the title, so
Okay. So, your situation, you're single, you get a $250,000 capital gain exclusion on the sale of a principal residence. You said you only made $20,000, so it's irrelevant whether you sell it this year or next year. Sell it as soon as you can to get the money for the sale. You have no tax situation when you're selling a personal residence, and if single, making less than $250,000, married, making less than $500,000.
And it had to be your personal residence within two of the last 5 years, right?
That is correct.
Exactly right. Correct.
Yep. All right, buddy. So you're good. Take your money and run, as they say.
You got it. Thank you very much.
Take care, Perry. Good question. You know, there's a lot of little quirks to that personal residence thing, you know, as If you have situations where it's not been two of the last 5 years, you could get a partial exemption, possibly.
Yeah.
Not always, but there are possibilities of that. So
that's why when we answer questions, we always want people to, you know, get someone to look exactly at their situation,
yeah,
go through their paperwork and make sure everything is correct, because there's no other little side things. We can only do so much in a 30-second radio call.
That is true. So you were talking about stimulus. Maryland's offering money for different niches and so forth. You got to go through the application process, get the money. And so, you know, that's very important that you're a small business owner, stay in touch with what Maryland's offering for different businesses. But the other one that we've been dealing with our clients is Maryland came up with a neat idea.
Copied.
What's that?
They copied it, didn't they?
They copied it from Connecticut. That's okay.
Best form of flattery.
I mean, give them some break that they actually did something for somebody in our state to help with the no ability to take state and local income taxes off as an itemized deduction. And so small business owners who, have a business with other partners or shareholders, let's call it, in an S corporation or a partnership, can do what's called a resident pass-through entity tax and actually get a tax deduction for the full amount of the state income taxes they're going to pay in 2020. But you have to act quickly before December 15th. Now, you're sitting out there saying, what's he talking about? What's that mean? How does that work? And so forth. You know, I only have a couple minutes left on this show. You need to be talking to your accountant and asking them, what's this I'm hearing about that I can use my pass-through entity tax to deduct my state and local income taxes that I pay to the state of Maryland? So give you a little example of this. Drew Tignanelli owns the Financial Consulate. I'm a major shareholder there. And Drew Tignanelli pays Maryland state income taxes on the income that I make from the Financial Consulate. Okay. Now, if I just paid those taxes at the end of the year to the state of Maryland and tried to take it as an itemized deduction, I'm going to get limited to a max of $10,000, including the property taxes that I pay. Well, you know, the house that I just sold and the property taxes almost took up that whole thing. So, you know, basically I was getting no deduction whatsoever for my state and local income taxes. Well, now I can actually pay a pass-through entity tax before December 15th, take it off on the Financial Consulate tax return, and then turn around and basically tell the federal government, well, I had less income this year because I had to pay this pass-through entity tax. So it's a roundabout way that I get the state and local income tax deduction on my tax return that I wouldn't have gotten if I didn't do this. And so if you're a business owner, you better be looking into this because it could mean a lot of money for a lot of individuals who've lost the deductibility. But unfortunately, it's only a workaround for people who own a business, either a partnership or an S corporation.
Yeah, and if you want a keyword to give to your accountant that you're going to talk to this, say, hey, I heard something on the radio and I might want to file a 510D form by December 15th as a resident member. And those are the keywords there of what to tell your tax account.
As a resident member. Yes, that is very important. Well, anyway, Mikey, we had a relatively slow night tonight, but we covered a lot of great topics.
Yeah, had a great time.
Yeah. You look like you had a great time.
Taxes.
You know, we weren't drinking, though.
Liabilities?
How could we have a great time if we weren't drinking wine or something?
You weren't drinking?
No, I don't drink. I only drink wine.
Oh.
And beer. One beer once in a while. Anyway, so we're going to be back with another open show next week. So think of your questions for next week. We'll look forward to talking to you then. This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless. Gonna be much better.